Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Masterson Inheritance. Throughout the years of the 19th century, young Mastersons, like the sons of any family of note, were packed off at a tender age to public school. Tonight, our team of performers will attempt to spontaneously reenact the story of a young man during the best days of his life. A story based entirely on the suggestions of our studio audience. No script, no rehearsals, just an audience and a couple of microphones. To bring you this story, we have Josie Lawrence, Phelan McDermott, Paul Merton, Caroline Quentin, Lee Simpson, and Jim Sweeney. Right, I'm stepping out into the studio audience now to get some suggestions for tonight's show. Now, the first thing we want you to suggest is an everyday occurrence at a public school.
Flogging.
Flogging. I gave you some pleasure saying that, didn't I? All right, we've got flogging.
Cold showers.
Cold showers. Take that as well? Shall we go with cold showers and flogging? Good. And the next thing that we need is every public school seems to have a motto. For example, rather death than false of faith, cheerful things like that. So a suggestion of a motto, a suitable motto.
Tell lies and succeed.
Tell lies and succeed. Okay, now the next thing is a skill, or perhaps a thing, an object, which a young boy might have to impress his fellow pupils.
A conker.
A conker. An impressive conker. All right. And the last thing, remembering where and when we are, is a title for tonight's show. Now, we'd like you to include the name of the Mastersons, so it could be A Masterson Does This, or...
Masterson Rides Again.
Masterson Rides Again. All right? Masterson Rides Again. Well, tonight we have Flogging and Cold Showers, Tell Lies and Succeed, Conquer, Masterson Rides Again. The Masterson Inheritance. This week, Masterson Rides Again. As the Industrial Revolution gathered pace and Britain bestrode the world at the heart of her great empire, the men who ran that empire were shaped and formed at British public schools. One such school was Chattleworth House, and outside that school was a young boy and his mother. She was saying goodbye to him, for he was about to enter the school for the first time and begin his school life. The young boy's name was Billy.
Oh, darling. Oh, be brave.
I want to.
Chin up now, you're a big boy.
I want to go in there.
Come on, you're nearly four.
I want to come home with you.
Oh, now, come on, darling. You know you can't come home. You've got to go in there and learn to be a big, brave grown-up.
Bitch.
His mum tried to tell him that he was a Masterson and he should be brave, as all the Mastersons were brave.
Oh, Billy, Billy, come on. What would Daddy say if he were here?
He'd say, run away. Go in there.
Now, would he really? No, I don't think so.
No.
He'd say, you're Billy, you're William Masterson. You've got to prove to the world that you're better than everybody else. Is that right?
Yeah.
And so we leave them, their tearful scene, and go into the public school itself, where Simmons was under the cold shower. Edgberson was giving him a good flogging. Very, very scared of Matron, for she was an imposing figure indeed.
Big bosoms, hasn't she? Oh, don't say that, you'll get pregnant. Make the pretty
Outside, it was time to say farewell. And young Billy was being separated from his mother. But before he went, she had some motherly words of advice that might see him through the tough days ahead.
Billy?
Yeah?
Don't spit that on the floor, will you? No, Billy. Come on, let's walk up the lovely gravel drive. Mm. Look at the beautiful house, Billy.
Mm.
Is it a little bit frightening for you, Billy?
It's terrifying.
Can I give you a little bit of advice?
Yes, Mummy.
If you're very, very scared, yes, don't forget to change your pants.
And I'll make you proud of me when I come out of there a big man.
You're a good boy, Billy. Say goodbye to Mummy.
Goodbye to Mummy.
Kiss Mummy.
Do I have to?
Yes. There. Off you go.
Bye, Mummy.
Who's this boy?
Ah, hello.
Hello, young man.
I'm a matron. This must be young Billy.
That's right, young Billy Masterson.
Hello, matron.
I always look forward to a new boy arriving at school.
Sure you do, matron. Matron, can I leave him in your charge?
Yes. Let me see your hands.
All right, there you are.
Ah, I can see. There's some work to be done here. You have dirt underneath your fingernails. At this school, we keep everything clean. Every little crack must be cleaned out. Cleanliness, as you know, is next to godliness.
Why, yes.
You must have a funny dictionary.
And impertinence is something we don't stand for. Goodbye, Mrs. Masterson.
Goodbye, matron.
Come with me, you little...
And so, not being able to find a word to describe him, off they went. In the headmaster's study was the headmaster. It makes sense. He was giving a talking to his daughter. Her name was Clara, and a bit saucy she was as well.
You wanted to see me, Father?
Yes, put your clothes back on first, though.
Letting the air get to my body.
Yes, you also like the fifth form getting to your body as well.
What's wrong with it, Father? You said that we should spread peace and love and happiness about the world. That's all I'm doing.
Yes, spreading peace, love and happiness. Is that what you really think you're doing?
Yes.
Those poor, impressionable boys. Their young minds sullied by... the sight of a young nubile naked for me. You sure you're my daughter?
Oh, Daddy, Daddy, it's because you keep me in this school surrounded by boys. Why don't you let me go down to the village and mix with proper girls?
We've got to have a mascot, my dear. Since the goat died, I mean to talk to you about that. I never told you how that goat died, did I?
You miss the goat, don't you, Daddy?
Yes, I do, Daddy. That's why I keep going on those cross-country runs. Get me mind off the poor devil.
Daddy, Daddy, please let me go to the village. You know I'll be good. You know I'm always good. Why, I always practice the school motto.
And what is the school motto?
Tell lies and succeed, Daddy.
What is the school motto?
Put a jumper on in case it's March.
Good. Well, you can go down to the village, but I warn you, don't go down to the Queen's Arms public house. Oh. It is a den of iniquity.
I won't go there, Daddy. I promise.
And bring us back a packet of dry roasted peanuts while you're there.
Little Billy had made his way to his bunk in the dorm, and he sat sobbing on the bed, alone for the first time in his life.
Hello. My name's West.
Hello, my name's Billy Masterson.
Why are you upset, Billy?
My mum's just dumped me here.
Oh, it happened to us all one day, you know. That's how I ended up here at first, but look at me now. 37 and my voice still hasn't dropped.
I'm scared.
Have you not had the pamphlet introducing the school's facilities?
No.
Oh, well, when it says goat, cross that out and put daughter.
The rest applies.
No. Oh, I just don't know if I'm fit in. I've never been away from home before.
Oh, chin up, Billy. It's not the end of the world. This is the first step towards manhood.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know, it still scares me. I might not have any friends. Will you be my friend?
I'll be your friend, of course, but mortality rates being what they are at a school, it's not a good idea to form too close a bond. Only leads to inevitable disappointments.
Well, if I can look up to you as my symbol, then maybe I will be able to get through this horrible time.
Let's face it, Billy was bloody irritating, wasn't he?
He's going for an award here, isn't he? Best 4-year-old in a radio series. I just come along for the laugh. I didn't know we were doing proper acting. Suddenly, hello, John Gielgud's walked in. Sorry, Billy, just me banter. All right, then you can look up to me. I'll be your symbol.
Oh, thank you. I feel better now already.
You must do everything that I do.
Yes.
You must eat the things that I eat. You must drink the things that I drink. Right. And before you know where you are, you'll be accepted as one of us.
All right, I will. Thank you.
For the first couple of years, you'll have to sleep on the ledge outside. I don't think we could put up with that all night, could we?
All right. I will.
Good lad, Billy. Have a sugar lump.
Thank you for accepting me.
Down at the Queen's Arms pub, a couple of the villagers from the village of Chattel were having a pint and discussing the shenanigans of the boys up at the school. The pranks they played were getting on their nerves, and frankly, they thought it was getting a bit out of hand.
Oh, I'm right cheesed off, Nathan.
I think that place ought to be shut down. It's disgusting what's going on up there.
You know those boys have been coming in here underage and drinking beer wearing false beards, don't you?
You will serve them, won't you?
I can't help it.
Just at that point, a 4'6" man with a very full beard walked up to the bar.
Yes, sir, can I help you?
I'd like a pint of beer, please.
Certainly, sir.
Could you lift me up so I can put my money on the counter?
Up your pot, sir. Oh, there we are. Drink that. Yes, as I was saying, they're coming in here with false beards on and paying me with chocolate money... Well, look at that, Nathan. What are we going to do?
I don't know, really. I can't be bothered, frankly. I've got a lot of opinions about it, but I can't be bothered doing anything about it.
No, I'm much the same.
This chocolate money tastes nice, doesn't it?
They were apathetic buggers down in Chattel. No doubt about it. Back up at the school, young Billy was having his first interview with the headmaster. Headmaster's name was... Dr. Alfred Mortis.
And as for Thursday afternoons, you must wear a mauve tablecloth on your head between the hours of 3 and midnight.
Midnight. Okay.
Any chance of puberty striking in the next one?
Don't know.
It's like sharing a scene with Michael Jackson. Perhaps not the best context to mention that man's name, but... So, Billy, how are you settling into the old school?
All right, the ledge is quite comfortable. And I'm trying out for the rugby team later.
You're doing what to the rugby team later?
I'm trying out for the rugby team.
Oh, are you? Yes. What do you think your favourite position will be?
Anyone I can get hold of.
I see you as a prop forward.
You're cruel, you are.
Oh, you know the old saying, you've got to be cruel to be cruel.
I will. I'll do well at rugby. I'll do well at everything. I'm going to make my mother proud. And you proud, Dr. Locke.
The name's Mortis. But, because of my size, people call me Chub.
Well, now young Billy knew what was what. Behind the cricket pavilion was Clara. She was waiting for a particularly special fifth former. For although she gave her favours to many, there was one who especially deserved them. It was, of course, Edgebaston. He was dashing, he was daring, and he wore the cut of his jib like no other boy in school. He turned the corner. What a fine figure of a teenage boy he was.
Edgebaston, you've come.
Yes, I've arrived.
Have you been whipping the little boys in the cold showers?
Well, I whipped a few, yes.
Did they scream with pain and agony?
They squeaked a little bit, yes.
I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. I don't want you to force me down on the ground and make love to me. But then I'm just practicing the school motto.
Sometimes I just can't help myself with a girl like you around. Get down on the floor, will you?
More! Do that more!
Oh, dear.
Edgebaston! You've got a barinka! More!
Excuse me.
Aren't you? What are you doing here, you horrid little boy?
What the devil are you doing here, young boy?
I'm looking for the rugby pitch.
He's not here.
Come here, young boy. Whatever you do, you mustn't breathe a word of this to anybody else.
Not a word.
If you mention this to anyone, I shall flay you within an inch of your life.
Billy, don't be scared of the young man. Just make sure you never, ever breathe a word, and I'll give you something special.
All right, I will. I'll never breathe a word, and I'll make you both proud of me.
Yeah, you take this.
A conker.
It's very, very hard. It's just like me. No matter how much you bang it, it doesn't crack.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
He won't tell. Now do it some more!
The matron was having a word with the headmaster. She was complaining about the boys. She wanted to increase the number of cleanliness sessions they were going to have. She wanted more scrubbing. She wanted less dirt in the school.
Headmaster? I think this is the voice I had earlier. I'm not quite sure.
I'm fine by me. It's nice to hear a voice that doesn't heard by dogs only. It took me 15 minutes to get rid of the Labradors last time.
Headmaster.
Yes, matron?
I'm rather concerned about the boys.
You're concerned about the boys?
Standards are slipping.
Standards are slipping?
You're going to repeat everything I say.
Only when I find it amusing.
Yes. There's one particular
boy. I beat you to it that time. I'm who's psychic.
Just turned up. And he's the filthiest boy I've ever seen. Headmaster, yes? I don't think you're taking this seriously.
Get off the unicycle then.
We're supposed to be running an educational establishment.
Yes, just look at the two of us, eh? Cool. I don't know how we get away with it. Yes, we are. But what is this particular boy doing that you're talking about?
He's dirty.
Dirty?
Yes.
In what way?
He's dirty all over.
Dirty all over? Who is this miscreant?
He's a Masterson. Young Billy Masterson.
Oh, God, not him.
I think you ought to have a word with him.
Yes.
I think you'll enjoy the experience.
No, I think you should take him out to the back of the barns, give him a good wash and pull his testicles down. If you can find them. Somewhere behind his ears, I reckon. I don't ever speak to him ever again.
In the dorm that night, The boys were all settling down.
William.
Yeah.
Do you know this school's haunted?
Yes, it's haunted.
Have you heard about the horrible faceless creature that comes up from down below stairs?
Don't tell me that. That's
nice.
It's a ghost horse.
And the fact the creature rides with no head. And anyone that sees it or hears it, something terrible happens to them.
I can hear it.
I can't hear anything from you.
Click, clop, like a horse.
No, I can't hear anything at all. Can you?
Hear that?
No.
Oh, no, then something horrible's going to happen.
Are you crying, Masterson?
Masterson's crying, Masterson's.
And the boys started to rag him terribly, and they pushed him and they thumped him, but then they felt something hard in his pocket.
What's that?
My conker.
Formers say.
I bet it's not as good as our conkers.
Look at mine.
That's been boiled for 5 years.
And now look at my conker.
Thank you, here's a shilling. This is my conker.
Oh, it doesn't look very good, does
it? No, let's see who wins. I bet it's you, Cedric.
And so Billy swung his conker, and Cedric's conker shattered.
Oh,
it seemed into 1,000 pieces.
Have a go at mine.
It smashed just like the other, and the next conker, and the conker after that, till there was not a conker left in the dorm, but young Billy's. He had the champion conker that had ever been at Chapelworth House School.
That's amazing. From now on, we'll call you Billy the Basher.
Billy the Basher. Billy the Basher. Billy the Basher.
And off the boys went, and Billy fell into a fitful sleep. But his sleep was not dreamless, no. His dreams were of his home at Masterson Hall, out in the Berkshire countryside, and his happiest days there with his pony, Charlie.
Oh, here we go, boy. Let's ride as fast as we can.
With his proud mother watching on.
Look at me, Mum.
Ride, Billy, ride.
All right.
There go, boy. Take that fence.
Well, bloody hell.
Oh. Pull him up sharp at the turn, Billy.
You're right.
That's how you go over Beecher's Brook.
Beecher's Brook? Oh. Blimey.
Fine, Billy.
Yeah.
Mind how you go off that 100-foot cliff face.
Oh, crikey.
Good boy, Billy.
And so he rode back to his mother, to her welcoming arms and her welcoming bosom. But when he awoke, he only held the pillow close to his chest.
You're all right, Billy.
Yeah.
It's Westy, your best friend.
Oh, I nearly fell off the ledge.
I had to get up and close the window. Making so much noise.
I imagined I was at home with my pony.
Sad, isn't it?
Yeah.
How are you settling in now, Billy? You've been here now 20 minutes. What do you think?
The boys seem quite impressed by my conker.
Yeah, it's a very special conker. Where'd you get it from, Billy?
I got it myself. Nobody gave it to me or anything, because I didn't mention the fact they were banging.
Who was banging, Billy?
Nobody. Not Clara or anyone.
Not Clara or anybody else?
No, not anybody else.
Not even... Somebody's name that neither of us can remember.
That's the bugger.
Yeah. Edgbaston, yes.
No, it wasn't Edgbaston.
No, was it Oval? He's a rum cove, stay away from Oval.
No, I've got this conker myself. I didn't see them doing anything. You can't make me say that I did. I didn't.
Billy, I believe you.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was lying.
Lying?
Yeah, I was trying to outlive the motto.
Tell lies and succeed. Yes.
And you believe me?
I did.
I'm really fitting in now.
You are, dumb.
And one day, you're going to be really proud of me.
We all will, Billy. We all will.
Clara and Edgbaston were together by the lake. Clara had tired slightly of Edgbaston.
I want you to be cooler, Edgbaston, like you used to be in the olden days. I want you to hurt young boys like they've never been hurt before.
Can you remember little Jimmy?
Oh, yes, they buried him a few months ago.
Yes, that scared him a lot. Especially when Matron told him off about the dirt between his fingernails.
Yes.
And tell you a call, especially to little Billy Masterson, who I don't like. Because of his voice, mainly. And tell you a really cruel. I won't let you take me again. See that you do it, Edgbaston, or you can never feel my filly-fankle twinkie again.
He found Billy over by the refectory. He knew of his fear of the ghostly horse. And he spun a tale saying that that night was the night when the horse would ride. And it would come and take the newest boy down to hell, as was the tradition at school.
But that scared you, didn't it? You know, this evening is the night it's going to happen.
Oh, no, is it going to come and get me?
I think it is, yes. Coming for you.
Why? I've not done anything wrong.
Well, frankly, I find you a bit annoying.
Yeah, but one day you're going to be proud of me.
What the hell are you talking about?
The hours rolled by quickly, and soon it was time for Billy to go to bed. He lay in his bed, afeared and afraid. Suddenly, down the corridor he heard it, the distant clip-clop of hooves. And then, in it burst, a ghostly apparition on four strong legs. All the other boys were so afraid they screamed and ran under their beds. But Billy saw something in the horse which didn't seem so ghostly. He knew much about horses because of his experiences back at Masterson Hall. And he took his conker out of his pocket and slowly approached the horse.
Here, little horsey, look at my conker. You are feeling sleepy.
Billy managed to hypnotize the horse. He climbed up on top to show the other boys there was nothing to be afraid of. Slowly, the boys appeared from behind their beds.
Look, Billy, you're so brave. Where's Billy?
Nothing to be afraid of, just an old ghost horse.
He rode him through the school, through the halls and round the fields, and all the people saw, and Edgbaston saw, and Edgbaston knew that he was beaten. And Billy pulled up the horse in front of Clara. She was mightily impressed.
Billy? Riding the ghost horse that no one has ever ridden before.
Yeah.
How old did you say you were?
Well, I'm just 14.
Your voice is broken, Billy.
Yeah. It's going to be dodgy for a bit, though. But it should settle.
Looks to me like everything's dropped.
He grabbed Clara's arm and pulled her up behind him. And they rode off to the far corner of the pavilion. She said. His reputation was made from that day. No one would intimidate young Billy now, for he was a hero. A hero who had rode again as a Masterson will. For a Masterson has strength of energy and courage, which no one else can draw on, for they are the owners of the Masterson Inheritance. In the Masterson Inheritance, you heard Josie Lawrence, Fela McDermott, Paul Merton, Caroline Quentin, Lee Simpson, and Jim Sweeney. Dialogue, music, and sound effects were improvised live at the Paris studio. The studio managers were John Whitehall, Wilfred Acosta, and Colin Guthrie. The producer was Phil Clark.